Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. A new refugee and immigrant cultural hub is in the works for San Diego, and we'll have details on our show today. Then on Crime Beat, hear about the arrest of a serial arsonist accused of setting 9 brush fires in East County, including in Jamul, Dehesa, Rancho San Diego, and La Mesa, as well as the arrest of a suspect who reportedly threatened police officers and a security guard at Grossmont Center in La Mesa. We'll have details about El Cajon's new police chief on our show today, and we'll also have a sad update on the story of a missing La Mesa woman with dementia whose body has been found not far from where she was last seen. Then on Destination East County, hear about holiday happenings in December, from elaborate lighting displays to craft fairs, festivals, a holiday bonfire, and train rides with Santa. From California News Service, hear about groups asking Governor Newsom to prioritize children in the upcoming state budget. We'll also have some holiday safety tips for pet owners, and then we'll take you back in time to a Christmas Eve long ago in East County with the Dianza Expedition. The San Diego Blood Bank is asking for gifts of life this holiday season, hosting a series of blood drives across East County in December, and we'll have details. Our newsmaker interview today is with La Mesa Councilman Jack Hsu, a longtime climate advocate who will tell us about La Mesa's new updated climate action plan, which he says is the most comprehensive in San Diego County. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. A 3D model of a planned refugee and immigrant cultural hub is being unveiled on December 7th. The project on University Avenue in San Diego's mid-city community will ultimately serve the diverse needs of San Diego's large refugee population. Partnership for the Advancement of New Americans, or PANA, purchased 2.2 acres of land for the center that will include housing, support services, offices, food, arts, wellness, plus areas for gathering. PANA's Executive Director Ramia Saheed says, "Together we are building a first-of-its-kind refuge of housing and services that honors our culture. To build a better future for the next generations, we have to start today. This effort shows what is possible when we unite to welcome each other with dignity," adds Saheed, a former refugee who fled civil war in Somalia as a child with her family. Saheed adds that San Diego can offer lessons to border towns on how best to support and welcome refugees and immigrants. The announcement coincides with International Human Rights Day, providing a beacon of light at a time when refugees and immigrant communities are bracing for intolerant policies from the incoming Trump administration. PANA purchased 2.2 acres in April 2023, which will be developed alongside a 10-acre parcel set to become a public park. Last December, over 300 community members and 13 nonprofit partners joined a visioning process with democratic decision-making and interpretation in 7 languages. The project is being made possible with support from the California Endowment for the Arts, the Catali Foundation, California Arts Council, Senate President Pro Tempore Tony Atkins, and San Diego County Supervisors, along with PANA. To learn how you can support this project, you can visit PANA's website at panasd.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is East County Magazine's Crime Beat. On the streets, reporting on crimes impacting communities across our region, helping to keep you safe and informed.
This is John Tidwell with a Crime Beat report. CAL FIRE investigators have arrested a serial arsonist accused of setting 9 fires across East County between November 10th and November 30th. Alan DeNoyo, a transient from San Diego, faces charges on multiple felonies. He is accused of starting vegetation fires on November 10th in Jamul, followed by 6 fires on November 20th in Rancho San Diego, Jamul, and Dehesa, as well as 2 more fires on November 30th in San Diego and La Mesa. According to CAL FIRE, witnesses provided investigators with information that helped identify DeNoio as a suspect. Witness statements, along with investigators from CAL FIRE and the San Diego County Sheriff, also assisted in finding DeNoio's location. The investigation report is being referred to the San Diego County District Attorney's Office. CAL FIRE thanked the public for their support and patience during the investigation, also voicing appreciation to the Sheriff's Department, San Diego Police Department, the County Probation Department, and the District Attorney. A man who reportedly threatened police officers and security officers was arrested November 30th at Grossmont Center. According to La Mesa Police Lieutenant Matt Conlon, police were summoned after the suspect caused a commotion in the food court and other stores, also threatening security officers. When La Mesa police officers arrived, Lieutenant Conlon says he threatened our officers and charged at security personnel, resulting in a tussle. Multiple police units responded to the scene, along with an ambulance and a Heartland fire crew. The suspect was identified as 51-year-old Timothy Boyle of San Diego. The suspect suffered minor injuries and was transported to a hospital for treatment before going to jail. No officers or civilians were injured in the altercation.
There's a new top cop in El Cajon. Captain Jeremiah Larson has been promoted to chief, effective December 18th, replacing Police Chief Mike Moulton, who is retiring. Larson grew up in El Cajon and graduated from Granite Hills High School. He earned a bachelor's in criminal justice from National University and a master's in public safety leadership from the University of San Diego. And he's also a graduate of the Senior Management Leadership Institute for Police in Boston. Larson joined his hometown police agency in 2002, serving with El Cajon Police for more than 20 years. He was promoted to sergeant, lieutenant, and captain before being chosen by El Cajon City Manager Graham Mitchell to become the city's 16th chief of police. Captain Larson has worked on patrol, investigations, the Special Enforcement Division, and the Training Division. He's also served as a field training officer, a cadet advisor, and a SWAT member for 18 years, as well as on the peer support team. City Manager Mitchell says Captain Larson's extensive experience, high ethical standard, and love for our community make him the right choice as El Cajon's police chief. Outgoing Chief Mike Moulton approves of his successor, stating, "His leadership abilities have been evident in every role he has taken on. I am confident he will continue to serve our community and this department with integrity, vision, and dedication." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
This is KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, in the heart of San Diego's East County.
The body of Vivian Crowder, a 71-year-old woman with dementia who has been missing since October 29th, was found on December 2nd by workers from Caltrans and the California Highway Patrol along the on-ramp from La Mesa Boulevard to eastbound Interstate 8. La Mesa Police Department expressed profound sadness at the discovery that Crowder is deceased. LMPD had sent out multiple bulletins to media and other law enforcement agencies seeking help to find the missing woman who was last seen walking on the shoulder of State Route 125 near the I-8 overpass the afternoon she went missing. Police had speculated that a Good Samaritan might have given her a ride, but her body was found just one freeway exit away from where she was last seen. The cause and manner of her death has not yet been determined. The La Mesa Police Department's Investigations Unit, in partnership with San Diego County Medical Examiner, will continue its investigation into the circumstances around her death. La Mesa Police thanks the many citizens, volunteer organizations, and sheriff's search and rescue for their help searching for Ms. Crowder. Reporting for East County Magazine in La Mesa, this is Miriam Raftery. The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. Welcome to East County Magazine's Destination East County, bringing you all of the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County each week. There's a dazzling array of holiday events coming up across our inland region, including synchronized light shows at Camp Christmas in Pine Valley, Lakeside's Spirit of Christmas, La Mesa's Holiday in the Village, a holiday bonfire in Lemon Grove, a Christmas market in Crest, caroling on Broadway in Lemon Grove, Christmas on Mount Helix, the German-American Society's Christmas in El Cajon, and North Pole Limited train rides at the Campo Depot. Camp Christmas in Pine Valley is back with dazzling light displays and more from 5:30 to 9 p.m. on December 6th through 8th and again December 13th through 22nd. Visitors will see thousands of computerized lights strung on trees and a spectacular water show, both synchronized to music. There's also hay rides, a bounce house, laser tag, archery, food, live entertainment, and a talking Christmas tree, a nativity presentation, Camp Christmas train rides, a children's playground, climbing wall, face painting, gift shop, buffet, barbecue dinners, snack bar, sweet treats, and more. For reservations and details, you can visit pinevalleycampchristmas.com. The City of Lemon Grove invites you to its annual community bonfire on Friday, December 6th from 4:30 to 8:30 p.m. at Traganza Heritage Park in Lemon Grove. Enjoy visits with Santa, music with a live band, a game truck, crafts, inflatables, free cookies, hot chocolate and popcorn, more foods to purchase, welcoming remarks from the mayor, an ugly sweater contest, and more. On December 7th, from 3 to 8 p.m., the Mount Helix Park will transform into a winter wonderland. This festive night features a Christmas market with crafts, local vendors, food and beverages, children's crafts, a caroling sing-along, and more. Shuttles are available to the public at Grossmont High School's lower parking lot. Santa will be there from 3 to 6 p.m., followed by the sing-along from 6 to 8, with the Christmas rock and roll band and Kindred Spirits. Lakeside's 26th Annual Spirit of Christmas on Main Avenue will be held December 7th from 3 to 7:30, with Santa arriving at 4:30 p.m. and a tree lighting at 5 at the Old Presbyterian Church, now the Lakeside Historical Society. Santa, along with the Lakeside Chamber of Commerce, invite you to enjoy an old-fashioned hometown celebration there, including shopping, children's activities, treats, local youth performances, a classic car show, and a mailbox for the North Pole. Parking is available at the El Capitan Stadium Association's Lakeside Arena. You can find more information at lakesidechamber.org. The reindeer are taking a day off on Sunday, December 8th, when Santa arrives at the Crest Christmas Craft Fair aboard a fire truck. Santa arrives at 4 p.m. and will visit with children until 6. The craft fair starts at 10 a.m. and runs through 6 p.m. with unique crafts, vendors, raffle baskets, musical entertainment, food, and photo opportunities. The event will be held at the Crest Clubhouse on North Park Drive in the Crest community of El Cajon. The German-American Societies of San Diego invite you to a traditional Christmas market. This festive event features shopping for handmade gifts, delicious German dishes, holiday beer, choral performances, kids' activities, and Santa photos. This festive event will be held at the German-American Society's headquarters on South Mollison Avenue in El Cajon on Saturday, December 7th from 2 to 7 p.m., and again, Sunday, December 8th from 2 to 6 p.m. The La Mesa Holiday in the Village is open to the community, featuring live music, cozy fires, craft vendors, food, holiday photo opportunities, including selfies with Santa, and a kids' area bigger than Santa's toy shop. The festivities take place on Saturday, December 14th from noon to 9 p.m. along La Mesa Boulevard between Spring Street and 4th. Visitors can walk the streets of La Mesa's historic downtown village while exploring dozens of local craft vendor stands, and then cozy up with artisan and craft food and snack specialties. Friends and family can relax by the fire pits while enjoying holiday caroling, cheerful holiday music, and fun live entertainment from local schools, clubs, and more. For a full schedule of events, you can visit lamesavillageassociation.org. 'Tis the season to be jolly, so Revitalize Broadway invites singers, no experience required, to join in spreading some holiday cheer. Caroling on Broadway in Lemon Grove will take place Friday, December 13th, and Saturday, December 21st. Meet at the Lemon Grove Promenade at 5:30 p.m. for Caroling Down Broadway, which starts at 6 p.m. Song packets will be provided. The famous North Pole Limited train ride returns to celebrate the holiday season Fridays and Saturdays now through December 21st at the Pacific Southwest Railway Museum's Campo Depot. Trains depart Fridays and Saturdays in December at 5 p.m. and 7 p.m. Arrive at least 30 minutes early to receive your tickets, explore the holiday gift shop, and soak up the festive atmosphere. Once on board the North Pole Limited, a Jolly Elf crew will entertain you with holiday sing-alongs, festive stories, and delicious hot chocolate and cookies. As the train winds through the breathtaking backcountry, keep your eyes peeled for the North Pole, where the train will pick up Santa and his lovely Mrs. Claus. Santa and Mrs. Claus will visit with every passenger on the train as the 90-minute ride returns to the Campo Depot. You can get tickets, which do sell out early for the North Pole Limited, at psrm.org. That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
More than 1,000 organizations just sent a letter to California Governor Gavin Newsom asking that children's programs be shielded from cuts in the 2025-26 budget. The coalition, called the Children's Movement, successfully lobbied to beat back cuts last year despite a $55 billion budget deficit. Ted Lempert, president of the nonprofit Children Now, says policymakers face competing pressures this year.
There could be extra pressures on the budget due to actions with the new administration and Congress. That said, the projected deficit is far smaller than last year.
The new fiscal outlook from the California Legislative Analyst's Office projects a relatively small budget deficit of $2 billion for the next year, but cautions against any spending increases. The governor usually submits his initial budget proposal in mid-January, which is a jumping-off point for negotiations in the legislature. California lawmakers are required to pass a balanced budget each year by June 15th. Lempert says children's programs are chronically underfunded in California.
Even though we're a relatively high-tax state, we're still around the middle of the pack in education funding, and we have one of the worst ratios of adults on campus, meaning fewer teachers, fewer counselors, fewer nurses.
The coalition would also like to see more funding for childcare and for preventative health screenings. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
It's time to deck the halls for the holiday season, but some holiday decorations can pose safety hazards for your cat or dog. So San Diego County's Animal Service Department is offering these tips to protect your pet. Keep pets away from mistletoe, holly, and poinsettias, since these are toxic to animals. Consider using artificial holiday plants instead. Chocolate is toxic to pets, so keep stockings with chocolate treats out of reach, as well as any chocolate cookies you might leave out for Santa. Anchor your Christmas tree so pets can't tip it over. Clear fishing twine tied to the top of the tree and secured to a ceiling or wall is a simple way to keep your tree standing and protect your ornaments too. Never use tree preservatives in water in your Christmas tree stand, since this can be deadly if cats or dogs drink it. Cats love to play with tinsel and curling ribbon, but then they'll try to eat it. Tinsel is toxic and ribbon can obstruct your pet's intestinal tract. So keep these items away from curious critters. Hide electrical cords from your pets and make sure they can't play with or knock over any candles. Many dogs and cats get overwhelmed with all the hustle and bustle of the holidays, so having a quiet room allows them to escape and sleep undisturbed. On New Year's Eve, loud booms from fireworks can scare your canine companion. Some dogs will jump over fences to escape the noise. They run for miles and become lost. So set aside a safe, quiet place and be sure your dog is wearing identification just in case. Microchip both dogs and cats, since they slip out the door unnoticed while you're busy greeting holiday visitors. And if someone finds your lost pet, a vet's office or shelter can scan for a microchip and you can easily be reunited. County Animal Service offers low-cost microchipping every Tuesday through Sunday, which includes national registration. You can also sign up for Finding Rover and upload a photo of your pet using your computer or smartphone. This free service uses facial recognition to help lost and found dogs be reunited with their owners. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Chardé Fontenot.
On December 24th, back in 1775, Juan Bautista de Anza's colonizing expedition from Spain spent the night in Coyote Canyon, an area that's now part of the Anza Borrego Desert in Borrego Springs. Writer Dick Overturf penned these words about that ordeal. It was Noche Buena, Christmas Eve, in Anza's camp, It was cold, foggy, and rainy. Earlier, it had been snowing. Everyone and everything was wet. Babies were crying. Women were weeping. Dead cattle lay on the ground. Hundreds of horses, mules, burros, and cattle were milling around Maria Gertrudis Rivas, who was in labor. Few could sleep, and the mountain Cahuilla Indians were watching. Who were these intruders? The soldiers and settlers in De Anza's expedition had been on the march north from Mexico for 87 days when they reached Coyote Canyon, seeking the promised land at Mission San Gabriel. An earthquake struck that night also, rattling the group's composure amid the bitter cold. After Friar Pedro Font recited evening prayers or vespers, Colonel Anza distributed a potent brandy drink, aguardiente, to raise his soldiers' morale. Friar Font took offense, declaring that it is not right to celebrate the birth of the infant Jesus with drunkenness, to which De Anza replied, "I do not give it to them to get drunk." He insisted that the king had ordered the brandy for the soldiers, but warned that if any soldier was found drunk outside his tent, he would be punished. Friar Font later reported that the people that night were so noisy, singing and dancing from the effects of the liquor, not caring that we were in so bad a mountain in the rain, and so delayed with the saddle animals and tired cattle, but such is the rule of those absolute lords. This was not the first time Friar Font had scolded the expedition's commander. Just 1 week earlier, a fandango, or jubilant dance and feast, was held. The fandango at San Felipe, said Font, was somewhat discordant, and a very bold widow who came with the expedition sang some verses which were not at all nice, applauded and cheered by all the crowd. Now, at the Christmas Eve encampment in Coyote Canyon, after the celebration died down, the friar comforted a soldier's wife who had been in labor since the day before. "She was fearful of dying, and I consoled her as best I could," he wrote. Shortly before midnight on Christmas Eve, the soldier's wife gave birth to a baby boy, who was christened Salvador Ignacio Linares. He was the third child born on the expedition, and the first white child born in California. A monument honoring the baby's birth on the eve of the Nativity still stands today, about 2.25 miles from Anza Ridge, near the San Diego County line. The day after the child's birth, the weary band of travelers rested before continuing on their way. Father Font delivered a sermon and then wished them all Feliz Navidad or Merry Christmas.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.
This is Miriam Raftery with a public service announcement from the San Diego Blood Bank. This holiday season, you can give the gift of life. The San Diego Blood Bank is hosting a series of blood drives across East County between December 18th and December 24th in locations including Spring Valley, La Mesa, El Cajon, Lakeside, Alpine, and Ramona. Here are the details. The blood drives include the McGrath Family YMCA in Spring Valley on December 18th from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Kaiser Permanente in El Cajon on December 19th from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Kaiser Permanente Rancho San Diego's Medical Office Building on December 19th from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Barron's Market in Alpine on December 20th from noon to 5 p.m. The Rancho San Diego Village from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Albertsons on Fletcher Parkway in La Mesa on December 21st from 2:30 to 4 p.m. and then the Albertsons in Ramona on December 21st from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. The El Cajon Elks Lodge on December 21st from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., Grocery Outlet in Lakeside, on December 24th, Christmas Eve, from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Anybody 17 or older who weighs at least 114 pounds and is in good health may be eligible to donate. A good meal and plenty of fluids are recommended beforehand. Appointments are honored first, and walk-ins are also welcome. A photo ID is required. You can call 800-400-8251 for more information or visit sandiegobloodbank.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for San Diego's inland region. Now, stay tuned for part two of the East County Magazine radio show.
Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, 89.1 FM Descanso. And today, my very special guest is La Mesa Councilman Jack Hsu, who's just on the verge of retiring, but on the way out the door, he cast a decisive vote here for La Mesa's Climate Action Plan update, which, according to Councilman Hsu, is the most comprehensive in the region. So, Councilman Hsu, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me, Miriam.
So, can you start by telling us what's different from the latest climate action update in La Mesa from the original version that was passed in 2018?
Well, climate action plans typically are kind of using information that is a bit dated, because that's the best information we do have. So even when we passed the climate action plan back in 2018, we knew it was obsolete the day it was adopted, mm-hmm. because of the data it was being used. And at that time, we were just getting familiar with climate action plans. The city of San Diego just had done one, and you know, this was a new kind of document and process and goals for cities to do. So I was very happy that we were going to update it. It's a bit actually behind. We should have updated it two years ago. Nevertheless, we got it done. But what's important about this new update is we are using current information, current goals for what we need to do, which is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions significantly.
Yes. And specifically, it has six strategies listed, which are building energy efficiency, clean and renewable energy, clean and efficient transportation, water efficiency, waste reduction, and urban natural environment. And apparently every one of these strategies is supported by 21 measures, 30 main actions, and 123 implementation and supporting actions. That is a really detailed climate action plan. You've told me, Jack, that this is the most comprehensive in the entire San Diego County region. Can you tell me what some of the ways are that it goes above and beyond what the other cities have done?
One is that this climate action plan is based on some state goals, scientific goals that are set by legislation. So I'm talking about AB 1279 and SB 32. These are actually pretty old pieces of legislation based on science that is a bit old by now. But nevertheless, they're significant in that it gives us real strong goals to reach. Mm-hmm. So based on 2016 numbers, we have to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 85% by 2045. Now, if you do the math, that means that's not that far from now, right?
No, it's not.
20 years from now. So we should be getting to a pretty significant level halfway. So halfway would be 2035. Mm-hmm. So in this plan, we're going to try to get at least 50% reduction, a bit over the 45% reduction, by 2035.
Great.
Now, that's real significant because reducing our greenhouse gas emissions by 50% mm-hmm. of 2016 levels in the next 10 years, that's going to be pretty steep.
Yeah, what's it going to take to get there? What are the main ways that they're going to accomplish that?
So the largest emitter of greenhouse gas emissions is in our transportation sector.
Mm-hmm. Cars.
And because of that, that's been the hardest one to address. We've done a great job in La Mesa because we are part of San Diego Community Power, and we've reduced emissions from the energy sector, our electricity, by pretty significant amount very quickly because of community power. And they have plans to reduce all, to go all green by 2035. So, you know, we're doing a huge success with regards to reducing greenhouse gas emissions in the energy sector. And we're on our way. I think we can do that. We could do a better job how to do that with regards to providing rooftop solar so that we're not paying energy
right.
produce for little money out in the desert and then
right, all the transmission lines everywhere. What about the transportation sector? Now, La Mesa, to its credit, they already have 3 trolley stations there in the city. How else do you get people out of the cars and onto their feet or bicycles or ride shares or whatever else or public transit?
Sure. And in this transportation plan or this cap in the transportation sector calls for using a system called Transportation Demand Strategies, TDM.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is nothing new.
Mm-hmm.
Transportation demand strategies have been used. Different kinds of strategies have been used in many places, very successful. And typically, it deals with reducing the amount of dependence on car travel
mm-hmm.
by promoting carpooling, by getting people to walk and bike more, and incentivizing that in various ways.
Speaking of incentivizing, I'm curious about more chargers for electric vehicles. You know, my son just bought a new car, and when I asked why he didn't buy an electric, I said, Jason, you work at Grossmont Center. Couldn't you just charge it up there? He said, Mom, the mall doesn't have any electric vehicle chargers. I was shocked. A regional shopping mall with no electric vehicle chargers. Is there something the city can do to incentivize Grossmont Center to put some
yes,
in?
Yes, certainly we do, and that's going to move along. We're going to have to, of course, put in a lot more electric charging systems throughout. But most people that own electric cars
mm-hmm.
charge at home,
right?
Because it's one that's not only cheaper, but it's more convenient. And when they charge at home, they typically have plenty of energy to go all the errands and all the places they can go for the day.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's the people who travel long distances that need help with regards to charging stations. And typically going to a shopping mall, if you live, you know, even if you live in San Diego or North County, mm-hmm. you could come to the Grossmont Shopping Center shop and drive home without any problem. So
yeah.
it's not
well,
limiting.
People that work there, I was thinking maybe people that work there, if they don't have a
exactly.
place to charge,
and
maybe
if,
they live in an apartment that doesn't have any,
absolutely,
they'd be able
absolutely.
To charge it up at the while they're working.
Right. But we could do that by putting charging systems in apartments.
Mm-hmm. True.
It'll be cheaper and easier to do that and more secure. But I think what's important here, though, is even if we change our cars, electrify our cars
mm-hmm.
at the most optimistic rate that we can find, that's not good enough.
Okay.
It's far from being good enough. And we knew that for over 10, 15 years, yet we have continually been sold on the idea that electric cars will save us. We do need to convert as fast as we can. We do need more charging stations in all these places. But we should not think that that's going to save us with regards to reducing greenhouse gas emissions. That is not the only answer. It's a limited answer.
Mm-hmm.
We
it's
have
one,
to do
one
other
piece
things.
Of the puzzle. Yeah.
And I bring up transportation demand management strategies because we could have done them 10 years ago, and it would have been much less costlier.
Yeah.
And in fact, it would have saved people money. Right. So
right.
we're investing lots of money in electrification. That's fine. But how come we're not doing the less expensive things sooner and faster? How come we're not saving people money in this process and designing for that with each
yeah.
other's strategies?
So what are some of those less expensive strategies that the city should be rolling out, you know, right now or within the next 10 years?
Yes. And this is going to be the tough part of implementation, transportation demand strategies as part of this climate action plan, because
mm-hmm.
it's going to require some change in behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we don't like changing the way we do things. I don't like it because I think someone is imposing something on
telling
me.
Telling you what to do, yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So carpooling, that's the main issue. Let's
mm-hmm.
share rides and let's share vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's do something to change our behavior, which will ultimately save me money,
mm-hmm.
right? Save establishments, whether it's apartment or shopping mall money, because they don't have to have as many parking spaces,
mm-hmm.
which is a huge investment
right.
for for businesses and for other land space. We devote 25% in metropolitan areas, 25% of our land base for vehicle travel, because you need 4 parking spaces where you live, where you work, where you go for recreation, and where you go to shop. So that's a huge investment. If we can reduce that investment, we will save everybody money. Plus, we may be able to find other ways to travel or carpool that saves the personal the consumer money
Yeah, like
as
shuttle
we
vans.
travel.
So if somebody needs to
Right.
go, they need to go to the mall or wherever to their
But
doctor.
you may have
But you
to
live in an
share.
area that doesn't have mass transit. Maybe there could be a shuttle van that could go and pick up several people like that. So it's just one trip
Exactly.
instead
And
of 5 trips.
we see that happening in other places in the world. And there's so many co-benefits. Everything from reducing the cost of transportation itself to the land base that we provide for cars to health benefits. It's going to pollute less.
Yes,
And
good for
that's
the
one of the
lungs.
things that we just don't measure into the cost of transportation.
Correct. But
We
also, I know La Mesa's been doing a lot. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, finish your thought.
Okay, so that the co-benefits, we term that, or I like to call that as secondary costs or secondary benefits. If I included the secondary costs of polluting cars, we would stop driving immediately. It costs us lots of money. So let me give you a thought process, which I think is important to consider. If I drive down the street and something falls out of my car and hits one of my neighbor's kids, causing that kid to have to go to the hospital for a minor injury, but yet still
Yeah,
lose, the
you're
parent would
liable.
lose time at work and have to take the hospital trip and pay for that bill. Who should pay for that bill?
Good point. The driver, right?
Exactly, that's my fault. That happens all the time with my gas emissions, with the other pollutants, yet
Right,
we're
making
not
other people sick.
capturing and transferring that cost to the person who is injured. La
Right,
Mesa suffers
asthma.
from that greatly. We have 3 freeways that cut through La Mesa,
True.
and that's providing pollution. We're in the 85th percentile in some of the worst polluted air in California.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah. A diesel particulate matter, which is not just from diesel, but from cars as well. When we talk about diesel particulate matter, it's the smaller particulate matter that comes from everything from the tailpipe to the tires and brakes. That gets deep into your lungs. It goes passes your lungs into your bloodstream and causes all kinds of illnesses that we're just trying to understand more.
Yeah.
Cancer. And it's not just lung disease. It is heart disease, it is cancer, and who knows what else. And we've known this for a while, but we have not been able to measure it well, and we
Yeah.
surely do not transfer the cost of that care to the person who created the pollution. And when we don't do that, we have a failing system in which polluters get to pollute more, and I will admit, I have 2 cars.
Me too,
I
and I don't
use
live within walking distance of transit, so what else are we supposed to do? That's the
exactly.
problem, is there's not always that said,
Absolutely.
what I was going to say before is that La Mesa has done they put quite a lot of emphasis on built approving new housing,
Yes,
mostly condos and
absolutely.
apartments on transit lines, so that the
Right.
residents of those
And
buildings do not have
that's
to drive many places. Anything
sure.
accessible by mass transit they can get to without ever getting in a car.
That's called a transit-oriented development, right?
Right.
Within a quarter mile, half mile. And I don't like to use distance, I like to use minutes. If it's 15 minutes walk, 30-minute walk within a transit center like the one we had at Grossmont Center or at the Spring Street, we have all these transit stops, Alvarado or 70th Street trolley stop. You
Yeah.
get certain breaks in development, waivers, to develop with higher density development. That's great, but Miriam, I've been dealing with transit for a long time, many years.
I know you have. You were
There's no
with
such
the.
thing as transit-oriented development in San Diego. I'm sorry. And the reason is we're missing the T. We're missing the transit. We do not have an effective transit system in San Diego when we have only 4% mode share. And you know my term mode share. If you have 4% mode
Right.
share, you do not have transit-oriented development
And can you
anywhere
explain what
in our
mode
country.
share means for people who may not be familiar with that term?
Absolutely. So mode share is usually a percentage. So 100% would be all the people that travel from point A to point B, whether it's for work or for pleasure, or to visit a doctor's or for education. So during rush hour, a certain percentage of people drive, a certain percentage of people walk, a very small percentage. Some ride a bike. So bike mode share is fairly short, small. It's 1% or 2% if we're lucky in urban areas. For transit mode share, anyone who takes the bus or the trolley would be in that category. And in San Diego, it's about 3-4%, depending on what part of you're
Well,
in.
I mean, if you look at the fact that there is no mass transit, basically east of El Cajon,
Absolutely.
there's no
That's
trolley service, no train service out there. People who live in places like Alpine or Campo have told me if they want
right.
to get to a doctor, let's say it, they
Right.
want to go
So
to
most
UC
of
Med
our.
Center, it can be 3 hours each way. It's crazy.
Absolutely.
So of course
So
they're going to get in their car with no alternative.
other modern cities have mode share in transit that's much higher,
Yeah.
let's say 10%, 15%. And then you're approaching that area in which you're making a significant difference with regards to reducing pollution and costs for the commuter, right? So then you get to places like Japan in Tokyo or Hong Kong or New York City or people who live in close to Washington, D.C. In the metro lines that they can take or Portland, Oregon or San Francisco with BART. There are places all over the world, some of them in the United States, in which we have a higher mode share for
Yeah.
transit
So there's
commuter.
a lot that really needs to be done at the county level. There's only so much that one city like La Mesa, which is only 9 square miles, can accomplish, although you've
Exactly.
done an awful
And
lot for a
it
small
takes
city.
time to build the kind of transit system that would increase the mode share. And the problem is we've ran out of time. That time was maybe 20 years ago. That investment we failed to do. And I've been involved with lawsuits with Sandag because we failed to do that. That's why the only tool that is left for us now to meet these goals is something like transportation demand strategies. That's what brings us back to a strategy that works, that doesn't cost very much money, but it will give us a reduction immediately.
Yeah, we should mention for those that don't know that you used to be affiliated with the Friends, the foundation supporting Cleveland National Forest, and I believe it was through that entity that you were involved in some lawsuits against the county over their climate action
Yes,
plan
yes.
or different things. The vote was not unanimous in La Mesa. It was I believe, a 4-to-1 vote with one council member, Laura Lothian, voting no. Can you comment on that, Jack?
She's one that does not believe we need to or should invest any money on addressing climate change. So she did mention she did not believe having staff working on the climate action plan was warranted, and that it was costing us money, and that it was not a good investment. She wanted funding for to fund other things. And there are some areas that I agree with Laura Lothian, and other areas I don't.
Right.
I looked at the investment in addressing climate crisis, the crisis emergency, as an investment or expenditure that has greater payback.
You also talked about the need to do more for people who own older homes to help them convert and be energy efficient, because obviously, things like adding solar can be very expensive or just making them more sort of, weatherproof, especially for folks that might be low income, fixed income seniors, and so forth.
Exactly. And that's why our climate action plan needs a lot more work. And that's why I propose updates every 2 years rather than every 4 or 5 years.
So that it would be equitable.
And we need to address that issue. And that is why we cannot in our current plan meet the 2045 goals is because when we look off into the future, how quickly can we convert these older homes that La Mesa has, largely of, most of our homes are pretty old, converting those homes to be fully what we call energy proficient and efficient, which is essentially electrifying, putting heat pumps in rather than gas-powered furnaces. So that takes an investment, and we need to accommodate these older homes in a way that doesn't give an unfair disadvantage or cost for people with particularly lower incomes.
We should note that Laura Lothian is certainly not alone in her views on climate change, despite the fact that 97% of the world's climate scientists believe that climate change is real and man-made, or that man contributes to it. We have an incoming president, Donald Trump, who is also a climate change denier, stacking his cabinet with like-minded people and wanting to pull the U.S. out of the Paris Climate Accord. So, with that attitude at the federal level, at least apparently for the next 4 years, Jack, how important is it for local cities and local governments of all at all levels to try to sort of step up their game and do more to combat climate change where we can?
Well, first, when we deal with the climate emergency, I think it's like many things. Where we need to start is with me, and you work your way out to the city level, to the county level, and state level. The state is doing their work. The county's trying to do some work, but by the way, the County Climate Action Plan does not recognize climate science with
Oh my
regards to
gosh.
the goals and or state law with regards to the goals for 2035 and 45.
That's
That's
true.
why I'm saying our climate action plan is better. We have climate action plans that other cities have passed that ignore science with regards to where we need to be at, at what level, which years.
Yeah, I mean,
That
I haven't looked up
that's
lately, but where is the tipping point now? The tipping point at which they say climate change could become irreversible. Scary
it's
thought.
that's a another topic that's pretty big. So kind of going back to your former question, let's start with ourselves. Let's start with our households. Let's start with our block, with our cities. We cannot ask anyone else to address climate change if we cannot do it ourselves. Yes, the federal government is making a reversal. They're becoming climate deniers. I understand that. But that does not preclude us or should slow us down in our efforts to do what
If
we think
anything,
is right.
it may be accelerated at the local level to try to
Or protect
offset some of that.
ourselves, from what the current administration or incoming administration is might do, which is retribution, which is withhold federal monies from local governments, state governments, because they do not go along with their rhetoric or
Yeah,
their the way they see things,
that's a
like
scary thought. I
what
don't
is
know how
ours.
do you protect against that, short of going along with things that you may find to be unethical.
Well, hopefully the other two parts of government, which is our legislative part, the Congress and the court system, will also protect us from those kinds of,
Actions.
frankly, very vindictive kind of approaches
Yeah.
to governance.
Well, we should add that at the local level here, not only are you retiring, but Councilman Parent will no longer be on the council because he had run for the state assembly, didn't win, but gave up his seat to do that. However, we have two new council members just elected, Laura Cazares and Genevieve Suzuki, and both Democrats. And I believe both of them, you probably have a better take than I do on this, Jack, but are both of them strong supporters of taking action on climate change?
Yes, they're supporters of science. They believe in science. But you know what's really wonderful is they bring some more diversity
Yes,
to the council.
they do.
They're women. And they're much younger than I am.
So they could be there for however long term limits allow, huh?
Well, I think that is very important. Having someone, I'm 72, and it's not that I don't think I can or cannot continue for another 4 years or however many years, but it's not right that I take the space and not allow someone who's a bit younger or a lot younger that have lots of energy, good ideas.
Yeah, Genevieve, I think, has planning experience. Am I right? Remembering correctly,
She
or
may not have, well, Lauren Casares has some planning experience,
okay.
but they're smart. They have
That's good.
energy.
Those are both pretty important qualifications people overlook
Absolutely.
that sometimes. We don't want
Absolutely.
someone that's stupid or lazy,
Right.
right?
They believe in truth. You can talk to them.
Yeah.
They're nice people.
Yeah, I've interviewed them. They seem great.
Right.
Very, very pleasant, very accessible.
Right. So, we all have pluses and minuses, but the plus
Yes.
that we really need in our leaders is the ability to listen, to reason, to think logically, to believe in truth. If you have those qualities, if you have empathy, if you have all these other great human traits, and believe in science and trying to solve problems. That's what we need. And when I see that in any candidate and now incoming council members, I'm very happy
Yeah, so
because
they got
then we
big
have
bills
some
to
chance.
shoe to fill big bills big shoes to fill those shoes councilman
No,
shoes.
no. But one other thing is, of course, though I'm retiring, I'm still going to live in La Mesa.
Yeah.
Lauren and Jen can call me, as well as Patricia Dillard and the mayor and Laura Lothian if they
Right.
ever want my 2 cents worth.
Yeah, very
But
good.
so that also helps, right?
Yeah.
In terms of having someone come in when you still have incumbents living that you could always ask. They could always call me and says, Jack, there was some issues a couple of years ago when you were a council member and this happened. Can you fill me in on what happened? So as I can remember, if I can remember, I can give them the details on what happened and give them some ideas of how to go forward.
Yeah, well, that's great. Well, Jack, we are running up just about at our time limit here. I want to give you the final word today. What else would you like our audience to know about climate change in general and La Mesa's revised climate action plan specifically?
Climate action plans are only plans. What's really important is implementation. City of La Mesa won an award by the Climate Action Campaign last year for implementation, which is actually still weak if I was to really measure what we really need to do compared to other countries and cities throughout the world. We're not that great when we really put it into larger context. But we are the best in our region, and we'll continue to be the best in our region. Implementation of things like the transportation demand management strategies is going to be tough. It's going to cause us to change ordinances with regards to parking requirements on residential areas with more than 4 units. It's going to require businesses to change how they deal with the parking structures and parking management. It's going to cause us to change how that's going to fall out. I'm not sure of what the details will, but it's going to involve community people stepping in and being willing to make those changes and make things work so that it becomes win-win situations, as well as situations or programs and ordinances that reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, our carbon footprint. And I think we can do it in a way that it is a win-win that saves us all money and reduces the number of times that some mother will have to take their child to the hospital because of an asthma attack.
Yeah, all very, very important. Well, Jack, I really want to thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice. And also just to wish you well in your retirement. You've earned it. We certainly hope you enjoy many fulfilling years ahead, and continue your wise counsel to those in power.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is Miriam Raftery with a public service announcement from the San Diego Blood Bank. This holiday season, you can give the gift of life. The San Diego Blood Bank is hosting a series of blood drives across East County between December 18th and December 24th in locations including Spring Valley, La Mesa, El Cajon, Lakeside, Alpine, and Ramona. Here are the details. The blood drives include the McGrath Family YMCA in Spring Valley on December 18th from 8 a.m. to 1:30 p.m. Kaiser Permanente in El Cajon on December 19th from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Kaiser Permanente Rancho San Diego's Medical Office Building on December 19th from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. Barron's Market in Alpine on December 20th from noon to 5 p.m. The Rancho San Diego Village from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Albertsons on Fletcher Parkway in La Mesa on December 21st from 2:30 to 4 p.m. and then the Albertsons in Ramona on December 21st from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. The El Cajon Elks Lodge on December 21st from 9 a.m. to 2:30 p.m. Grocery Outlet in Lakeside on December 24th, Christmas Eve, from 9:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Anybody 17 or older who weighs at least 114 pounds and is in good health may be eligible to donate. A good meal and plenty of fluids are recommended beforehand. Appointments are honored first, and walk-ins are also welcome. A photo ID is required. You can call 800-400-8251 for more information or visit sandiegobloodbank.org.
Our East County Magazine radio show needs volunteers, and so does our award-winning news website at eastcountymagazine.org. If you would like to help write scripts, learn reporting skills, research topics for our news team, or have an on-air voice to be the media, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org or call 619-698-7617.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com. This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor@eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
A free press is the foundation of our democracy. KNSJ Radio is dedicated to providing nonprofit news in the public interest, not special interests. We rely on your support to continue bringing you important stories from San Diego and East County that you won't hear anywhere else. Please make a generous donation at knsj.org to sustain KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice.